And we're holding Mem Hey Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. We talked about yesterday the Tiglach's Tumah, the case where the Nazir was Tomei and now has to bring Korbanos and shave and start his Naziris over. So now let's talk about Tiglach's Atara Ketzad. How was the Tiglach's Tara done? What was the procedure of him shaving and bringing his Korbanos in Tara, meaning when he finished his Naziris successfully? So Hoya maybe Gimel Behemoth, so he brings three animals as a korban. Chatas Olo Shlomim. So unlike a Nazir Tomei, where he had a Chatas and Ola and an Oshem, here he has the third one instead as a Shlomim. That's the Eil Nazir that we say in morning davening. He brings a ram and brings it as a Shlomim. V'shechet as a Shlomim, Magalei Chaleim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, that he would shech the Shlomim first and then shave on them, meaning after the blood of them was sprinkled, then he would shave his hair. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says.
And if he would go under the fire?
That's going to be the next. We're going to talk about the what he does with his hair in the fire, yeah. Tosfos explains that the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk that says that he should shave Pesach Oyel Moed in front of the door of the Oyel Moed, and we're going to understand what that means exactly. It doesn't literally mean in front of the door. It would be a bizarre to shave over there. But the point is, Tosfos says, since we find the word Oyel Moed mentioned, Pesach Oyel Moed mentioned in connection with Shlomim in a different pasuk, then that's why Rabbi Hoda is saying that the shaving dafka takes place in connection with the Shlomim. Although Tosfos wonders in that case why does the Mishnah list the Chatas and the Ola first if according to Rabbi Yehuda the Shlomim go first, and there's a bit of discussion among the Noisa Kalim and the Rambam about what the exact order is according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to the Chachamim.
According to the level. Hashem, so.
Right, but the question still was that if the Shlomim come first, then they should have been listed first. So there is an explanation, in fact, that the Rambam, in fact, disagrees and says that the Shlomim came last, and that the Rambam would understand that they do, in fact, go in the order that they're mentioned in the, Mishnah. Rabbi Lozer says that no, he would shave in connection with the chatas. So the chatas would be shechted and the blood sprinkled, and then he would shave shachatas kodemus b'chomokim. We always find when you have various korbanos that are being brought together, we always find that the chatas comes first. The Gemara in Zvachim learns it out from Sukkim. So over here also the chatas has to come first, and therefore he can already be shaving in connection with that. The Mishnah continues. Now, if he were to shave in connection with any one of the three of them, then he would be yotze b'diavad, even though Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's supposed to be the shlomim, and Rabbi Lazar is saying it's supposed to be the chatas. Nevertheless, if he were to shave in connection with whichever one of the korbanos he brings first, then he would be yotze b'diavad.
If he changes the seder?
Not just if he changes the seder, but in other words, if, for example, so let's say if we say that the shlomim is brought first, if we were to say that the shlomim is brought first, like on the face of it, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, and the way that Tosfos learns, then let's say he didn't shave in connection with the shlomim, let's say he waited until they're offering the ola and then he shaved, fine, he'd still be yotze. And according to Rabbi Lazar, same thing. And according, if we say that the shlomim goes last, same thing. We would say that if he shaved on one of the earlier korbanos, it's yotze. The Mishnah continues. Rabbi Shimon Gamli Olamer, Hevi Sholosh Behemus. If a person brought three animals for his korbanos, v'loy pidush, and he didn't specify which one is for which korban, then. So how do we know which one is which? Well, then, so then the one that is suitable for the chatas will be brought as a chatas. That will be, in other words, each of these three korbanos is going to be a different type of animal. Male. The chatas is going to, a regular person's chatas is a female. Only in the case of a king, only in the case of a king does he bring a male instead, and by Naziris that doesn't necessarily apply. The Ola is going to be a male. Both of them are going to be young sheep within a year old. And the Shlomim is going to be a ram, which is a male sheep over 13 months old, an adult male sheep. Yeah.
Only a sheep, is it?
Right. So now, therefore, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, so now it's easy to tell which. The one that's suitable for a chatas, which will be the female young sheep, will be brought as the chatas. So in other words, the kohen doesn't even need to ask the guy which one is which. He can automatically assume each one is the appropriate one. What happens if he brings types of animals that are not suitable? Then we learned earlier in the Masechta about the details of that. And in general, what we're going to say is then you're going to have to wait until the animal develops a mum and sell it and use the money towards another korban.
So I'm bringing it after you using it?
If you're makdish an animal, if you're makdish, let's say it was a cow, if you're makdish it as an ola, no problem. You can bring an ola anytime you want. So you can just bring that as an ola, and the kohen will tell them you also have to bring separately a sheep for your ola. A chatas is not so simple because you can't bring a chatas voluntarily. And the shlamim, we had a number of cases earlier in the Masechta where you do in fact bring an animal that was designated as the shlamim of a nazir. You still bring it as a shlamim. You just don't bring it together with the bread. Or Tosfos said maybe you do bring it with the bread and you don't wave the bread or whatever. But if it's the wrong kind, for one thing. Okay.
I'm assuming the Gemara or the Mishnah explains why each carbon is going to be male or female.
Whatever. No, the Mishnah generally doesn't get into that level. No, I mean, you have, people, in general, you have like this. When it comes to general reasons behind the korbanos, a couple of different Rishonim discuss reasons behind them. The Rambam talks about it in Mor Nevuchim, the Ramban talks about it in his Pirush to Sefer Vayikra, the Sefer Achinuch talks about it. Generally speaking, they deal only with the generality of why there are korbanos and maybe why there are different types of korbanos, chatas versus ola versus shlomim, etc. They don't usually get into the specifics of why this particular one is male and that one is female and that one above a year old and that one below a year old. The Rambam, in fact, says in Mor Nevuchim, he says flat out that don't ask me to explain that. Those are not the kind of things that we can really explain. Rav Shamshon Afal Hirsch is big on that. He generally goes with each kind of korban to explain in detail why it's significant that this one is a female and that one is a male and that one below a year old. And he has all kinds of symbolic explanations about that. There are scattered places in Chassidus where it talks about where it talks about such things as well. But yeah, okay. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, V'gilach ha-nozir Pesach Oyo Moed, the nozir should shave by the door of the Oyo Moed. So which korban are we talking about in connection with which korban does he shave? So b'shlomim, akosim adabah, the Pasuk is talking about b'shlomim, like we said, like we quoted from Tosfos, shenemo shchote Pesach Oyo Moed, because by the shlomim, the Torah uses the word, he should shecht it by the door of the Oyo Moed. So in other words, we have, So here, when it says that he should shave, Pesach Oyo Moed means that he shaves in connection with the bringing of the korban that is described as Pesach Oyo Moed, namely the shlomim. The Braisa continues, Ata Omer B'Shlomim Akosim Adaber. So you're saying that that's what it means. So not that literally he shaves in front of the door of the Oyo Moed, but rather that he shaves in connection with the korban that is described as Pesach Oyo Moed. But how do you know? Maybe it literally means that he has to shave in front of the door of the Oyo Moed, literally. And then in that case, the Pasuk is not telling us anything about, or at least fine, maybe not literally in front of the door, maybe in some place in the Azara. In general, we have, when it says that a korban has to be shechted, Pesach Oyo Moed, so a shlomim, for example, we know, we say in morning davening, Shechitasim B'chomakim Ba'azara. You're allowed to shecht them. So actually, the Gemara in Zvachim tells us they actually had various doors besides for the front door of the Heichal, which we're familiar with from the pictures and the depictions and whatever. They had different other doors on different sides of the Heichal. That way, the result of that was that the entire Azara, even behind the Heichal, was kosher for shechting shlomim and other kodshim kalim. So fine, maybe over here it means the same thing. Maybe it means you can shave anywhere in the Azara, but it's not telling us specifically about what korban he shaves in connection with. So the Gemara says, you can't say that. That would be a bizoyan to be shaving right there in the Azara. So therefore, necessarily, the Pasuk must be telling us not that he shaves in the Azara. In fact, where he shaves is in the Ezras Noshim, you have the four chambers in the corners of it, one of which was called the Lishkas HaNazirim, and that would be where the Nazir would shave and also where he would cook his korban. You look, for example, on the Paruchas over here, you have the depiction of the Ezras Noshim, you have the four small chambers in the corners of it. So so one of those was the Lushka Sbizidim, yeah.
And they all do cook themselves. So.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one way of understanding that it means that the word Pesach Oyom Moed means the Shlom. The Gemara continues, the Brais continues, Rabbi Yoshiya Ema Enet Sarich. Rabbi Yoshiya says you don't actually need to learn it that way. You don't have to learn from Svara. We find that the Torah says you're not allowed to walk up to the Mizbeach with steps. You have to have a ramp because it would be a bizoyan, it would be a lack of tznius to the Mizbeach, because Asher Le'Sigolah of Oscholov. So Kavachomer L'Derech Bizoyan, how much more so than something which are, how much something, so at least walking up steps is not really such a bizoyan, it's only a little bit, and nevertheless the Torah says, how much more so a nazir shaving is a real Derech Bizoyan. So therefore, and it's not even at least when the Kohen is walking up to the Mizbeach, he's accomplishing part of the Avodah. Here it's not even accomplishing part of the Avodah. So therefore, all the more reason that the Torah cannot possibly be saying that he should actually be shaving in front of the Oyel Moed, meaning in the Azara. It has to mean, therefore, that the Torah is telling us something about the Korban in connection with which his shaving takes place. So here you have the printers in the printers in later editions of the Gemara put in over here a couple of lines quoting from a different version of a Medrash that has the limud differently. Nusach Acha Medrash Parsha Nasi Dafresh Mabez the Gilah Hanazir of Yoshi Yom of Shlom Makosim Dabber Oyena Cholim Kacha Matoral Salafol Kamacham Dabber Shalay Galeach Pesach Omer of Shlom Makosim Dabber. In other words, according to this version, and actually a number of the Mefoshim on the side over here, Agoris Agra, also and others point out that in the Medrash what we find is that you don't have two different like this the way we have it in the Gemara over here. You have two different opinions. You have the Tanakama of the Braisa, who's learning from logic that we derech bizayin. Rabbi Yoshiya learning it not just from logic, but from a kavachomer of walking up to the Mizbeach. The version in the Medrash that's brought over here in parenthesis. And actually, the Rosh also brings that in the Sifri, it brings this as a continuation of what the Tanakama is saying, that it's not really two different opinions. It's rather the Tanakama himself is saying that you don't even, it's not just a matter of svara. The fact that you can't go up with steps onto the Mizbeach shows us that all the more so you can't be shaving in front of the oil moyed. So therefore, necessarily, when the Pasuk is saying the Gilach Pesach oil moyed, it cannot mean that he actually shaves in front of oil moyed. Rather, it means that he shaves in connection with a korban that is brought, that is described as Pesach oil moyed. The Braisa continues. Rabbi Yitzchak Oyma Einet Sarich. Rabbi Yitzchak says, I don't need to learn it that way. You have a different pasuk where we see that he shaves in connection with the bringing of the shlum, because the pasuk says, Harehu Oyma V'Loka Chasaar Rosh Nizrei. The pasuk says, you take the hair of the head of his nizirus, the nosen ala esh v'gemer, and he puts that on the fire, which is under the pot where the shlumim is cooking. So we learn from that the fact that it says v'lokach, that he should take misha ena mechusar ela l'kicho nesina. Now that would imply that only when does he do it? When all he has to do is pick up the hair and right away put it under the pot. There's nothing else that he needs to do. Yotza zeh, as opposed to if he were to shave in front of oyel moed, shomachosa l'kicha b'hava, he would have to. There would be two things he has to do. He would have to take the hair after he shaved it, and then he'd have to bring it from one place to the other. He'd have to bring it to the place where the shlomim is being cooked, and then he'd have to put it under the fire. So therefore, from that posik itself, because after all, where is the cooking taking place? Again, in the Lishka Sanizirim, which is in the Ezra's Nashim. So from that alone, says Rabbi Yitzchak, you see, therefore, that it can't mean that he actually shaves Pesach Oyel Moed. It has to be that he's shaving in the Lishka Sanizirim, and therefore all he has to do is take the hair and put it under the fire. He doesn't have to take it from one place to the other. Although the Rosh is bothered by the question, that's assuming that he actually cooks the shlomim in the Ezra's Nashim. How do you know he doesn't cook the shlomim in the Azara as well?
Well, Ezra's Nashim is an Azara, no?
No, the Ezus Nashim is not part of the Ezus Yisrael. We talked about yesterday about Shan Nikon, or we talked about a Tvu Yoim, for example, only be, or Tommy Mess only being able to go up to Shan Nikon. That was the dividing line between Shan Nikon, was the dividing line between the Ezus Nashim and the Ezus Yisrael. Midaraisa, as we talked about yesterday, Midaraisa, the Ezus Nashim, has no greater Kedusha than the rest of the Harabayas. So Tmei Mess are allowed in it. Other kinds of Tmeim are not. But midrabanan, you have the midrabanan, you have the Ezra's Noshim has a greater degree of kedusha, and its full yom can't come in there. The Ezra's Yisrael, which is on the other side of Shaul Nikanor, that's considered that's the beginning of the actual azara, and that's the equivalent of chatzar oyel moed, and no kind of tomei is not allowed to go in there. Not a tvul yom, not a mechusik kipurim, not nothing. So the Rosh says, okay, so you know Reb Yitzchok, you're assuming that he has to cook it in the Lishkas and Nazirim, and therefore necessarily the shaving has to be taking place over there also, because it says Velokach, but how in fact do you know it's not the other way around, that maybe he cooks it in the Ezra Yisrael and shaves over there as well? So he leaves the question open.
Well, there's a place called, in the Beis Hamikdash, everyone knows, a place called Shanazirim.
So okay, you know, there's a place called Lishkas Hanazirim, but still, from the rat itself, where does it come from? The truth is, there is actually Yechezkel, when he describes the third Beis Hamikdash, Yibanu Meher of Yamenu, he describes the layout of the third Beis Hamikdash is much different than that of the previous two Batei Mikdash. In particular, you have the Ezra's Noshim, which he calls Chotzer Achitzoyna, surrounds the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Noshim and the Heichel, surrounds the Ezra's Yisrael and the Ezra's Koinim and the Ezra's Heichel, rather than being next to them, like in the earlier Batei Mikdash. But whatever, anyway, he describes over there two different cooking areas. One he describes certain large chambers that are built there next to the Heichel, where the Koinim can cook their Kodshim. And then he describes in the four corners of the Chotzer Achitzoyna, of the outside Chotzer, which is the Ezra's Noshim, he describes over there four chambers also with cooking areas, and he says there the Kohenim will cook. As Zevach Ha'am, the Korbanos of the people, meaning things like Shlomim, and meaning like things like Shlomim and Toida and other Kodshim Kalim people can eat. Not different Mizbechas, of course not, but different areas to cook the Korbanos.
So after
the blood was sprinkled and the fat was burned on the mizbeach or whatever, a chatas has to be eaten by the kohen and they have to cook it. That and the chatas needs to be kept in an area of kodshik. It needs to be kept in the azara. So they had a cooking area for that in the azara. And in Yechezkel's description, those large chambers that he describes that are next to the heichal are considered an extension of the azara. And then he describes over there other chambers in the corners of the Chotzer Achitzoyna, of the Ezra's Noshim, where he says that there they would cook the korbanos of the people, things like chatas and whatever. Not chatas, shlomim and whatever. So there is a source over there in the pasuk for the concept that the korbanos of a nazir are cooked outside the azara and the Ezra's Noshim. So Rabbi Yitzchok is saying, from that, in turn, you can learn, therefore, that the cutting of the hair has to take place over there. Ikadamri, another version of this discussion, is Rabbi Yitzchok Omer, b'shlomim akosim medaber, that Rabbi Yitzchok again says that the words Pesach oyo moyed refer to shaving in connection with bringing the shlomim. And Rabbi Yitzchok continues, after Omer b'shlomim akosim medaber, oyen el Pesach oyo mamash, oyen el Pesach oyo moyed mamash. Again, maybe it literally means that he actually shaves Pesach oyo moyed. Tamad loymer. So again, he says, b'loka chasar reish nizrei, mokum shohayim mevashol, shom hayim megaleach. In the same place where he cooked the shlamim would be the place where he shaved. Because not so much because the word velokach means that he has to take it and immediately be able to put it, like in the previous limud, but rather that the fact that it says velokach, the fact that it says that the lokach and then v'nosan ala esh without anything else in between implies that he has to be able to put it under the fire right there where he shaved. So again, therefore, meaning that he doesn't shave on Pesach Oyo Moed, he shaves in the Lushka Sanazirim, and then that's where the shlom is cooking, and then he puts the hair under the fire over there.
So basically going when it says from the door, it's referring to the carbon, which is...
It's referring to the name, to the type of carbon in connection with which he shechts, right. All the limudim, and here again, Gros Hagro says that actually brings from the Sifri, that actually that it's not really a different opinion, it's really just a different way of expressing what Rabbi Yitzchok said. Tosfos also, the Tosfos over here are printed on Amud Beis. They also mention a number of different Gersois over here that you don't really have many different opinions over here, that basically you have one statement over here. But now we have a different opinion. Abba Chonan Oymer Meshum Rabbi Eliezer, that when the Pasuk says V'gilach HaNozer Pesach Oyomoyed, we learn from that something different. Calls man she'en pesach oyomoyed pasuach, as long as the door of the oyomoyed is not open, enim galayach, he cannot shave. Meaning, so now in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, you didn't have doors. All you had was poroichasim. So fine. The pashtus, they would open the poroichas every morning and maybe they'd leave it like propped open or something. In the Beis Hamikdash, they had doors. The ulam, which is the entrance to the foyer of the heichal, did not have a door either. All it had was a curtain. But behind that, to go into from the ulam into the heichal itself, where you had the shulchan and the menorah and the mizbeach hazav, there you had doors. And the Mishnah in Midas describes how every morning the kohen would come and unlock those doors. So now, as long as those doors are closed, Abba Chanan is saying, you cannot bring, the nazir cannot shave. That's a different way of learning. So in that case, then that would fit better. So the Rosh explains that fits better with Rabbi Lazar's opinion in the Mishnah. So therefore, in other words, that in the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Yehuda saying that the nazir shaves after the shlomim is brought. And Rabbi Lazar had said that he shaves after the chatas is brought. Now, all the limudim, all this time, we were learning from Pesach Oyomoyed, we were saying that the word Pesach Oyomoyed refers to the shlomim, and therefore that would mean that he shaves in connection with the shlomim. Now, Abba Chanan is telling us differently. No, the words Pesach Oyomoyed are not teaching us the type of korban. They're teaching us a different din. If the doors of the heichal are closed, the nazir cannot shave, and if he does his shaving, he's not yotze the mitzvah of shaving. In fact, we're going to talk about later on, you can have a case where the nazir shaved and it turns out as korbanos repasul, and then it's considered the equivalent of gilchu listim, the equivalent of where he was shaved by robbers before he has to wait another 30 days before he can bring his korbanos because his hair needs to regrow. So by the same token, Abba Chanan would say, if he were to shave when the doors of the heichal are closed, same problem. He didn't shave properly according to the mitzvah.
But it still gets by bringing the korbanos, no?
So that's the thing. We're going to talk about tomorrow, Best Hashem, what is the essential thing that's needed for his Nezirus to be over, bringing the Karbanos or shaving. We're going to have two different opinions about that. But everybody agrees that if he shaves before the Karbanos are properly brought, then that's no good. That's the equivalent of shaving during his Nezirus. So, and he's going to need to wait. He's going to need to wait in order to grow hair again. So one example would be Abba Chanan is telling us, if he were to shave while the doors are locked, while the doors are closed, then yeah, that's not a valid shaving. So therefore, according to him then, we're not learning from that the shlomim. Rather, he can say, like Rabbi Lazar says in the Mishnah, that he shaves in connection with the chatas, because the chatas is always the first korban brought when you have a series of korbanos. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer. Here's another thing that we can learn from that, from those words, V'gilach HaNozer Pesach HaYomayid. We say that the nazir shaves by the entrance of the oil moed. Another point we can learn from that, says Rav Shimon Shizuri, the loy nazira. Now, why does it have to say the word nazir in the first place? Who else is going to be shaving? So he says, the pasuk is telling us, davka and nazir, a male, a man who's becoming, who's finishing the nazir, shaves over there, but not a nazira. Meaning that the nazira should be shaving someplace else outside the azara, rather than right there. Fine, he's saying you don't shave in the azara because bizayin, but even the lushka says in anazirim, he says an azira should not be shaving over there. Shemi is goru ba pirche kahuna, because otherwise the pirche kahuna, the young kohenim, may be attracted to her. They're going to see her uncovering her hair and shaving it. Even if it's enclosed, there are always kohenim in and out of all the rooms over there. So therefore, the Lishkas and Nezirim was a large, was all those four chambers in the corners of the Ezras Nashim were large chambers. They were 40 by 40 amos, or some say 40 by 30. So whatever, they were pretty big. Not necessarily would it be reserved only for the Nazir. The Pashas, you would also have Kohenim coming in and out and helping people, with telling people what to do as far as cooking their korbanos and doing other things. So now Rav Shimon Chazuri is concerned that the young Kohenim are going to see her, and they're going to have a type for her. So rather, Rav Shimon Chazuri is saying that with a woman, she should be shaving someplace else, and then we'll see in connection with the next Mishnah whether then she brings her hair to the Azara or not. So Omaloi, but Abba Chanan says to Rav Shimon Chazuri, Lidvarecha, according to your logic, Sota Techiach, you should be able to prove the contrary from the case of a Sota. There the pasuk clearly says that they make her stand in front of Hashem, meaning in the Azara. She's not even standing in the Ezras Nashim, she's standing in the Ezras Yisrael. And we know, as we're going to learn in the Masechta Sota, that they uncover her hair and they rip her clothing and so forth. And we're not concerned that the Pirchei Kohona are going to be attracted to her.
I think I have a little answer for that.
One second. Omalahan, so Rav Shimon Chazuri says, the difference is, zu kechela super kesis. The difference is that a Nazira is still putting on eyeshadow and prekesis.
Right,
she's not being punished, so she still wears almost makeup. Prekesis, we talked about a few possibilities before of what we learned in Nedarim, a few possibilities of what prekesis means. It can mean that she combs her hair, or parts her hair. It can mean that she puts on rouge to make her cheeks look redder. It can mean that she different kinds of beauty treatments. Whatever, she being a Nazira, she's not being punished. They all she's doing is shaving her hair. Therefore, there's still the concern the Pirchei Kohana will be attracted to her. The zoo ain't a kechelos pekeses, whereas with a soita, she's being punished. Adrabah, we take off all her jewelry, we do whatever. So therefore, there's much less of a concern that the Pirchei Kohana will be attracted to her.
We learned also the old Kohanim.
There is that. Yerushalmi mentioned that in connection with the Sota, particularly the old Kohanim would be the one who would help her lift up her carbon, right? There is, in fact, in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara in Sota, where Rabbi Yehuda argues that if the Sota's hair or her body was attractive, then in fact they would not rip her clothes and they would not uncover her hair for the same reason, Pirchei Kohana, but the Chachamim disagree with him and say that you do it regardless. So now Rav Shimon Chazuri is saying, even by a sota, even if you're going to argue by a sota that you still always uncover her hair and you still always rip her dress, certainly not over here by a Nazira, and therefore she should be shaving elsewhere. And the Gemara does mention elsewhere that whenever Rav Shimon Chazuri says something, the halacha is like him. However, here the Rambam doesn't bring this to halacha, and apparently he holds that we don't hold like Rav Shimon Chazuri in that regard. And the Nazira shaves in the Lishkas and Nazirim just like the Nazir.
Just close doors. Okay.
Yeah, maybe they just close the door for a few minutes. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah continues. Hoya noitel sa'al rosh nizra. Now that the Nazir had shaved the hair of his Nazirus, he would put it on the fire under the pot where the Shlomim is cooking. A dud is a type of pot. V'im gilach b'medina. Now, however, if he had shaved any place outside the Bis Mikdash, now we did say the Gilach HaNazir Pesach HaYomoyed. We had all the different opinions that said that it didn't literally mean Pesach HaYomoyed, that in fact he does it in the Lishkas and Nazirim. And you have to think about it. After all, I mean, in the Mishkan there was no Lishkas and Nazirim anyway. In the Mishkan there was no Ezras Nashim at all. So therefore, the whole concept. So fine. In the blueprint of the Bis Mikdash, there was a Lishka which they reserved for the Nazirim, but it's not like in other words, a Nazir had to davka shave there. Practically speaking, it was a place made available for them if they want to shave in the Bis Mikdash and be able to right away bring their hair and put it under the fire. But in fact, they would be equally well yotze if they shaved anywhere else. So if they did that outside Yerushalayim, outside the Bis Mikdash or outside Yerushalayim, then they would not put the hair under the pot with the shlamim. They would just burn it wherever they are. Tosfos explains the reason that uh, even if so it's true that we're saying that Pesach Oyel Moed doesn't mean that they shave literally in front of the Oyel Moed. Nevertheless, though, the fact that it mentions those words in the pasuk teaches us that the continuation of the pasuk, that he puts his hair under the pot of the Zevach HaShlamim. So at least to that extent, we say that we're excluding from that somebody who shaved outside Yerushalayim. We would, similar to, we had the limud on Amud Aleph, that the lokach v'nosa means mishen mechusu elo lekicha, that all he has to do is take and put it, not where he has to also transport it from one place to another. Well, if he shaved outside Yerushalayim, then you already have, he has to do that, and therefore the pasuk is implying, therefore, that he doesn't put it under the pot in that case.
The only way you could do it is if you have the wholeness of the...
So only the way you could do it. They're not really the Azor. Tosfos learns that actually Bamedina means any place outside Yerushalayim. You have that actually in a number of places in Shas, where you have there are a number of places in Shas where it makes a distinction between Mikdash and Medina. For example, you have that originally the din was that you took lulav for 7 days only in the Mikdash and for one day in the Medina, and only after the Churban did Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai say that we take lulav everywhere for 7 days zeicha the Mikdash. So what does Mikdash and Medina mean? So Rashi in those various places explains that Mikdash means the actual base of Mikdash, and then Medina means the Yerushalayim and the rest of the country, whereas the Rambam learns that Mikdash means the whole Yerushalayim and Medina means outside it. So here Tosfos is saying similarly that Medina over here would be any place outside Yerushalayim, and Mikdash then would be, it doesn't use the word Mikdash in the Mishnah over here, but the Medina, so if he shaved anywhere in Yerushalayim, then he would be bringing the hair to the Azara, but not if he shaved outside of your, not if he shaved outside of your Yerushalayim. There are different other Mefarshim who learn that that Medina over here means any place outside the Azara. The Bar Tanura on the Mishnah in particular says that Medina would include Yerushalayim. Anyway, the Mishnah continues. Bamed v'rim amurim. When are we talking about that the Nazir puts his hair under the pot? B'tigachas atara. Only if he's shaving because of tara. So he finished his nazirus successfully, and now he's shaving. Avol b'tigachas atuma. But if he's shaving because of tuma, so as in the earlier Mishnah, loy hoy mashaleach tachas adud. Then he would not put his hair under the pot. Now, in that case, there's no shlomim that he's bringing. But in that case, a nazir tamei is bringing two birds, plus he's bringing two birds and a sheep for an asham. So now he's not putting, now the pasuk specifically only mentions the putting the hair only by the nazir tamei. Therefore, by the nazir tamei, even though there are two out of his three korbanos are being eaten, the chatas ha'oif is eaten by the kohenim in the azara, and the pashtus they cook it. And the osham is also being eaten by the kohenim in the azara, and the pashtus they cook it. Nevertheless, there's no putting the hair under the fire of either of those.
What?
The bird they do malika, of course. Yeah. So in the case of a nazir tomei, you don't do that. Instead, what you do is the Gemara mentioned, the Mishnah mentions at the end of Tamura that the hair of a nazir tomei is also bahana, and they bury it.
Will he be allowed to stand in the Mishkas HaNazir?
Who, the Nazir Tamei? Yeah, he's allowed to stand any place up till Shal Nikam. So what we learned yesterday is that after his tumah, he has to toibel. He sprinkled the Koradim water, he toibels. He waits till he has head of Shemesh. Then the next day, we said he brings his Korbanos. We have the Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon. What if he delayed his shaving? Does he also have to delay his Korbanos? Rabbi Akiva said not. Rabbi Tarfon said yes. But in any case, he definitely has to bring his korbanos only the day after he toiled.
So he went down from his tumah.
His tumah is completely gone, right? We said yesterday, okay. A nazir is not really a mechusar kapara per se. The korbanos that he brings are in order to restart his nazirus. They don't directly have to do with the procedure of becoming tahor from tumas mes, and therefore there's less of an issue with him bringing them earlier. Yeah. Okay. So again, if he was a nazir tamei, then he doesn't put the fire under the pot, even though there are two out of his three korbanos that are being cooked. Nevertheless, he doesn't put the hair under it. Rameyo disagrees. He says all cases, a nozir, when he shaves, whether he's tahor or tame, he will put it under the pot. Chutz min atame, shem a medina bovad, with the exception of a nozir tame who shaved in the medina, which again, according to the Baruch Tanura, medina includes at any place outside the Azor. And according to any place outside the Harabayas, and according to Tosfos, it means any place outside Yerushalayim. Then, so because he's Tomei, and it was outside the Azara, therefore he's not putting his hair under any pot. Instead, he's just burying it, because it's also Bano. But in all the other, so in other words, you think of it, you have four possible cases. Nazir Tahor shaving in the Azara, or next to the Azara, whatever. Nazir Tomei shaving in the Medina. Nazir Tahor shaving in the Medina. Nazir Tomei shaving in the Lushka Sanazirim, Nazir Tomei shaving someplace outside Yerushalayim. So Rav Meir says in three acts of the Tanakhama was saying that only a Nazir Tahor is that the Tanakhama was saying that out of all those four cases, only one of them brings the hair and puts it on the fire. On the other hand, so only when he's Tahor and he's doing it in the Lushka Sanazirim. On the other hand, now we're saying, Rav Meir is saying, on the contrary, three out of the four cases, he puts it under the fire. If he was a Nazir Tahor, he always does, even if he shaved in the Medina. And if he's a Nazir Tomei, if he's shaving in the Lushka Sanazirim, only if he's a Nazir Tomei and he shaved in the Medina, only then is he not going to bring his hair and put it in the fire. Okay. So the Gemara says, so when we said he takes some of the hair, he takes the hair that he shaved from his Nazirus. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. There's one more detail that the Mishnah didn't mention. He takes some of the gravy or some of the liquid that the shlomim was cooked in. The noisen al sa'ar rosh nizra, he pours that over the hair of the nizirus, and then he puts it under the pot where the shlomim is being cooked. So he shaves off the hair, he pours some of the gravy or some of the soup or whatever that's being cooked in, and then he burns it. We're going to learn soon from a pasuk why that is. The im shilach tachas adud shochatas v'asham yotze. If he were to put the hair under the pot where the chatos is being cooked or where the oshem is being cooked, then he would also be yotze.
According to one person who said that's chilo, that's what you do.
No. So one second. So the question, to shave in the Azara would be a bizoyan. But we're saying once he shaved in the Lishka Sanazirim, then if he takes the hair and puts it under the pot in the Azara where the koyim are cooking the chatos or the oshem, then fine, he's yotze as well.
According to one person, that's where it goes.
We said that. We said according to Rabbi Elazar, he shaves after he brings the chatas. We never said anything about what he does with the hair.
Which one gets burnt with?
No. So far we haven't. The pasuk says the expression that he puts it on the fire, ashatachas zevach hashlamim, that is under the korban of the shlamim. The Gemara is going to explain soon how we know that if he puts it under one of the other korbanos, he's also yotze. Anyway, the Gemara asks, Oshem menazir tahor miyika. What Oshem by a Nazir Tahor? A Nazir Tahor is bringing a chatas and ola and a shlamim. There's no Oshem. So what do you mean if he puts it under the pot of the Oshem? What Oshem? The answer is Amar Rava, Amar Pachi Kamar. What the Braisa means is be Nazir Tomei Meshaleach Tachzadud Shal Oshem Yatz. If he was a Nazir Tomei, where there's no shlamim being brought, and if he were to put it under the pot where the Oshem is being cooked, then he would also be Yotze. Again, that's according to the opinion of Rameir, who says that a Nazir Tomei does put his hair in the fire as well. So here we're talking about a Nazir Tomei. So in other words, the Braisa, in other words, is arguing with the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, and it's going more like the Meir. Although with that said, the Shittim Kubetza says that maybe even the Tana of the Mishnah, maybe even the Tanakhama of the Mishnah would say that the Nazir Tomei usually shaves in the Medina. Maybe the Mishnah is not excluding if a Nazir Tomei were to come to the Lishka Sanazirim. Maybe in fact the Tanakhama would say then he should put his hair under the pot under the pot where one of the Kobanis is cooking. And then the Braisa would fit with that as well. The Gemara says, "Minahani mili." How do we know this? That you put some of the gravy on the hair before you burn it. So minahani mili. So where do we know that from? Omar Rava, Omar Kro, Asher Tachas Zevach Hashlamim. The pasuk says that he puts the hair under that on the fire that is under the korban of the shlamim. The word zevach is another word for a korban. Now the word zevach is extra. Asher Tachas Hashlamim. Why zevach Hashlamim? So we learn from that it means. Means some of the korban should be underneath it, namely some of the gravy. The gravy itself is considered to be part of the korban as well. After all, if some other food were to absorb from that gravy, then it would have the din of a shlamim as well, as far as that you can only eat it in your shalayim and only tahorim and so forth. So it's actually considered part of a korban and of the korban, and therefore the pasuk is saying that that should be in the fire as well. Okay. Now, the Mishnah had said, being shilach tachza dud shochata siyata. We said, or the Brai said rather, that if he were to put it under the pot with the chatas, then he would be yotze, or the osham, if it was a nazir tame. So my timer. So why is that? After all, the pasuk says it has to be with the zevach shlamim. So the answer is amakra zevach l'rabas the chatas v'osham, because the word zevach comes to also add the other korbanos, the chatas or the osham. But the Gemara asks, well, pictula, hi, zevach meirotiv. Didn't you just use the word zevach to teach us that you have to put some of the gravy on the hair? How can you now use it for a different limud that it's also valid if he puts the hair under the chatas or the asham? The answer is, imkein lemakram meirotiv ashlamim. Fine, but if the pasuk just wanted to tell us that you put the gravy, instead of using the word zevach, it would have actually used the word roitiv. It would have said to put some of the gravy. My zevach, why instead does it hint at it with the word zevach? Shmamin of the rabbis chatas v'asham. Therefore, we learn from that it comes to include that you can also put the hair under the chatas, where chatas would apply to either one, and asham, which applies to a nazir tamei. That b'diavad, you put it under there also, it's fine. So the Gemara says, so maybe fakeret, maybe the word zevach is only teaching us that you can put it under any of the korbanos. Maybe it's not teaching us anything about putting the gravy on the hair at all. The answer is imkem lema shlomim v'zevach. In that case, the pasuk would have said it would have said that he puts it under the shlomim or the korban. My zevach shlomim. What does it mean? The korban of the shlomim, where it puts the word zevach right before the word shlomim. Means shmamin otauti, therefore you can learn both. That it means that it is kosher b'diyevet if you put it under any other korban, but in addition, it also teaches us that some of the zevach itself, some of the zevach hashlamim itself, should be together with the hair in the fire. The Gemara says, Tananabon, Hakol Hoimash, let's talk about the machloikas that we had before of which Nazirim put their hair in the fire. Hakol Hoimash Shalchin Tachazadud, everybody who, all the Nazirim who shave put their hair under the pot. Chutz min Nazir Tomei Shigilach the Medina, with the exception of a Nazir Tomei who shaved in the Medina, where again, according to Tosfos, the Medina means outside Yerushalayim, and according to the Bartanura, it means outside the Azara, yeah. Mipnesha Sa'ore Nikbar, because his hair instead needs to be buried, because it's also Bahana. So therefore he doesn't put it under the fire.
So here
we're talking about a Nazir Tomei Shigilach B'Medina, right? So Tosfos wonders, by the way, we're saying over here that we need to burn his hair. Tosfos wonders why. Where do we get that from? Not to burn. We have to bury his hair. We have to bury his hair. They should start a nikbar. Tosfos says, where are we getting that from? So Mepharshim say, what do you mean? There's a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Tzmura that says that. It lists a bunch of Yisurei Hanah. It says there are certain Yisurei Hanah that have to be buried, and there are certain ones that need to be burnt, and among the ones that need to be buried is the hair of a Nazir. The point being, in other words, that the ones that have to be burnt means that you're allowed to have Hanah from them while they're burning. So you're allowed to, to warm yourself, to cook food or whatever, as opposed to the ones that have to be buried, you cannot have hana from them while they're being burned. So what is Tosfos' question? Sort of Velvel Brisker, the Brisker Rav, explains that once we have a Nazir Tahar, that his hair is burnt, is burnt under the pot. So why don't we say the same thing should apply to a Nazir Tahar And that's what Tosfos' question is. Why are we saying that Davka by another Tomei, that by another Tomei we Davka have to bury it? Fine, we have a Mishnah to that effect. But in other words, where are we getting that from? Why don't we say that we draw an analogy between him and the Nazir Tomei? Anyway, but that's how it is. Divrei Rav Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, like he said in the Mishnah, Tahorim kan v'kan hoy mishalfin. The Nazir Tahor either way would put their hair under the pot. Tmeim kan v'kan lahoy mishalfin. But if he's Tomei, no matter where he did the shaving, he would not put under the pot. So that's actually a third opinion. So it's not like in the Mishnah. That's a third opinion that we didn't have in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we had the Tana Kama, which is going to be the Chachamim of our Braisa over here. We had Rav Meir. So according to the Chachamim, let's finish the Braisa and then we'll explain. The Chum said no Nazirim would put their hair under the pot, with the exception of if he's A, Nazir Tahor, and B, he's in the Beis Mikdash, only then was the shaving done in the proper way, where after all, it does say Pesach Oyomoyed, and then that he puts it under the fire. So only when it's both that he was a Nazir Tahor, so nothing went wrong, and that he's doing it in the Beis Mikdash, only then the Chum said, does he put it on the fire? So that was the first, that was the Tana Kama of our Mishnah. So we have three opinions. The Tana Kama says that only a Nazir Tahor in the Mikdash does the burning of the hair. Everybody else does not. Rav Meir said the other way around. Three out of the four cases you do, only if he has two strikes against him that he's a Nazir Tomei and it's in the Medina, only then does he not burn it. And Rabbi Yehuda says that two out of the two do, all Nazirim Tahorim do and all Nazirim Tmeim do not. The Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, so that's how it is then. So Nazir Tahor puts his hair in the fire, but whether he shaved in the Mikdash or in the Medina, but a Nazir Tomei does not. Instead, the Nazir Tomei's hair is buried, like he says in that Mishnah and Tumah. Even if he shaved outside Yerushalayim, if he doesn't do it, he's still Yotze, he's still finished his Nazirus. Right. But to accomplish the full mitzvah, he should be bringing it in and burning it under the pot where the shlomim is being cooked. Keep in mind, technically, the shlomim don't have to be cooked in the, technically, the shlomim may not have to be cooked in the Lishkas and Nazirim as well. It's a shlomim. It can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. What you do have to do is, the next Mishnah is going to go on to say that once the shlomim is cooked, then you take one leg of the shlomim together with some of the bread and you wave it, and then you give that leg plus the chaz of a shoyk to the kohen. So to that extent, if you were to do it in Yerushalayim, you'd then have to bring it back to the Azara. But if you do it in Lishka Sadizim, practically speaking, then you're saving yourself that trip. But by the same token, yeah, you could in principle be cooking it anywhere in Yerushalayim, and you could also be then and if you did that, you could be burning the hair anywhere in Yerushalayim in principle also. Thank you, everyone.